Man, I am so excited about the word today. And, you know, it's just so good, so good. God's word is so precious. Amen. And it's full of life. Life. You know, people are in need of life today. And we're going to talk about party. How many like to party? Anybody like to party? Love to party, man. You know what? Jesus was a partier. He believed in partying. He loved to party. Y'all ain't not too many amens there, man. He did. You need to love to party. Praise God. You need to love to celebrate. Why don't you stand this morning, turn to 1 Peter 1:8. Gonna look at the word here and listen to what Peter said here. This is an awesome scripture. Listen to what he says, how we should be and how we should respond and what we have. Whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with what? With joy inexpressible and what? Full of glory. He says that's how we are to be. We are to be full of this inexpressible joy. Praise God. Amen. Full of it. Hold up your Bible this morning. Let's say it like we mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear. My heart is open to receive God's word. And I will never be the same. Never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to somebody and say, party on.
Party on.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Man, I tell you one thing about our house is we love parties. In fact, we love birthdays. And when anybody has a birthday in our family, we don't just celebrate on that day. It starts a month before. And they'll start talking about it and reminding us and, you know, just it's my birthday coming up, it's my birthday coming up. And we just kind of party throughout that whole month. So, of course, mine's on the 2nd, so I have to start, you know, that month before. So, but we enjoy celebrating. We love each other, we enjoy that celebration, and it's a fun time. And I love a good party. You know, I love going to a good party. I love going to a celebration. And really, when you find out and understand what Christ has done for you and what he has accomplished in the finished work, life is a party. God meant you to enjoy life and to enjoy all of the grace that he has for you. Amen. God has deemed that for every believer. Wow. I remember one of my favorite birthdays is when I turned 40 a couple years ago. And, happy birthday there, Jeff, by the way. It's his birthday. Give Jeff a good hand. Yeah. Woo-hoo. And you know what's really good about a believer is you have two. You have your natural, then you have your spiritual. So you get to really celebrate twice a year, right? Come on, somebody. Amen. But I remember this birthday, particular birthday, is my 40th, and Holly said, I'm going to surprise you on that day. And I remember the day, it was a rainy day, and it was in November. I was born on the 2nd of November, and it was November. And she packed a gourmet lunch, and she had me get my fly rod and my fly fishing gear, and, you know, and she took me down to this state park, and she opened up this gourmet lunch, and she had this lunch all spread out, and, you know, and it was raining outside, and we were sitting in the car, and she had me pack her fly fishing gear, which was really cool. And so we went, and we were living in Missouri at that time, and we went down to Branson, and there's a great stream there called Tanny Como, and, you know, we went out there, and the brown trout were running, and I was helping her, you know, teaching her to fish, and she started catching one after another, and the guys next to her were moving closer to her, wanting to get to the fish, but they didn't know what I knew, that she was anointed to catch fish, you know, because, you know, she just is, and she's part of me, she's anointed to catch fish. You know, we caught fish, we had a great time, and I thought the day was over. And she said, oh, no, honey, the day's not over. She said, we're going to the movies. I said, really? Yeah, we're going to go and see Rudy. That just came out, Rudy. Man, one of my favorite movies, right? Hoosier movie, right? So we went and we saw Rudy, and she said, I thought, you know, the day's ended, man, we fished, we had a gourmet lunch, it was great. And then she said, oh, no, honey, the day's not over. She said, I've got reservations for us at a bed and breakfast in town. And there's a bed and breakfast there in Springfield. It's just beautiful, this old house, and it was just looked like a castle almost. And so we got to bed and breakfast, and she said, "Oh, baby, the day's not over. I'm not going to finish the rest of the story." So, but anyway, it was awesome. Praise God. We had a great time, and it was a blessing. And I thought, wow. Was that bad? Okay. I'm sorry. Grace. Amen. But it was great. The Lord was so good, and I thought, God, you are so good. Well, and Jesus loves to party. Jesus, I began to look at the scripture, and I'm thinking, wow, Lord, you love to party. You enjoyed it so much. Jesus came to give us life. Life was meant to be a party. It was meant to be a celebration. Every day of God's goodness and every day of his grace. Look at Acts 10:38. Here's how good God is and why we should celebrate every day. Look at this wonderful scripture. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with what? The Holy Spirit and with? Who went about doing bad. Who went about putting burdens on people. Who went about saying, well, maybe you'll make it in by the skin of your teeth. No, he went about doing what? Good, and doing what? And healing all. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Amen. You know, he rebuked the storms. He drove out the demons. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. I'll be back. He raised the dead. He cleansed the lepers. He delivered the captives. Come on, somebody. He opened the blinded eyes. It was a constant celebration of life. It was a constant party going on. Praise God. That's the kind of God we serve, church. That's who we are, and that's who we have a relationship with. The Pharisees, on the other hand, and the religious crowd didn't appreciate Jesus too much. They said, hey, he's out of order. Hello? He's not going by the rules here. Hey, what are you doing? You mean you're healing someone on the Sabbath? What's going on, Jesus? They were the party killers. I mean, they were the wet blankets of the party. They always tried to stop the party. And they accused him of always breaking the law. Wow. But you know what, guys? In the presence, in his presence, the Bible says, there is fullness of joy. Psalm 16:11. In his presence. And when people got around him, when they got around Jesus, there was such an expression of joy. Hallelujah. And parties broke out everywhere. Celebrations took place. Amen. The little woman with the issue of blood who suffered for 5 years, she was healed. Jairus' daughter who died in Mark 5 was raised from the dead. There was a party going on. Wow. Most Christians have been sold a joyless gospel. They have been sold a joyless gospel. Religion wants to hold people down. Religion wants to bind people up. They've been told they have to work in order to maintain their salvation. They have to work at being holy in order to please God so they can be blessed. Are y'all hearing me this morning? There's very little rejoicing when there's always work that has to be done. Instead of relying on his finished work, they're constantly working to try to work, to try to get, instead of realizing the only thing they have to do is receive. So many are told to get into their prayer closets and pray harder, and they think that they're fighting the battle, and they don't know the battle's already been won. Woo! Amen. Listen. How are we going to fill this house? I'm telling you. You know what? Here in Fishers, we were talking about this yesterday. There's a church on every corner. There's a lot of big mega churches. Big mega churches. Down the street, on Olio, over here, this one there, that one there. There's a lot of choices. But you know what? There's not a lot of freedom. Unfortunately, there's not. And people have good intentions. I know they do. All around us have good intentions. But you know something? Good intentions is not the good news. The good news is what really sets people free. And I believe, I really believe, I still believe that when people really understand and have a revelation of God's grace and unconditional love, we cannot build a place big enough to contain them. Amen. But religion has so many people so bound in it, and they love, and you know, I was just talking to my daughter yesterday, she said, Dad, people love to hear that they're doing wrong. She said, there's something about that, they love to hear that. It just, you know, I've got to do better because I've been so bad, and if I do better, I'm okay, and I do better for a while, and I feel some relief. And I go back next Sunday, and I'm beat up a little bit more, and I've got to do a little bit better. And if I do a little better, and there's this religious work mentality, and they always feel like I've got to get better, and I got to get better. And the preacher gets up, and he preaches a little grace, and he preaches a lot of law, and there's a lot of condemnation. And then they feel guilty, and they come to the altar, and they feel, oh, I'm right with God now. Hallelujah, until next Sunday. And then they got to work so hard, and, you know, I go there for this, and I go there for that, and, you know, very little people go for the Word of God. They go for a lot of other reasons. But I truly believe, even as us, as this size congregation, I truly believe if we express and share the true gospel of what God has done for them, that people, we cannot keep people away from here. I mean, you're talking about going to 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20, 30 services. We would do that. We would do that. I mean, you say, well, we're obscure. Well, you know what? So was Bethlehem of Judea. They were obscure. They weren't even supposed to be the place where it was happening at, right? Not there. You know, not in a stable somewhere. Are you serious? The King of Kings being born in a stable? Well, not in a warehouse. Surely God's not in a warehouse with a handful of people and, you know, this guy up there waving his arms all over the place. But you know why God's here? Because you're here. And because you know the truth. And you've been set free. You've come out of some of that religious stuff. You had that religious mindset. And I'm telling you, the religious mindset's very hard to break free from because a lot of times you want to fall right back into it because it so strokes our flesh. Boy, I've really done something for God. No, really, He's done something for you. He's done something for you. Praise God. And if this town, if this city would know what God has done for them, why are we doing this for? Why am I here? Why have I been doing what I do? Because I want them to know what God has done for them. I want to see people living a free, prosperous, healthy life, not walking under condemnation of sin and guilt, not feeling like when they mess up that God is so mad at them that they're just barely going to get in by the skin of their teeth. I want them to know about the goodness of God, the healer, Jesus Christ. I want them to know about the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, who is our comforter and our paraclete. I want them to know that whom the Son set free, they are free indeed. Amen. Praise God. I want them to know about this unconditional love and the grace of God that is just so amazing that you can't even comprehend it. Man, I want people to know that truth. That there is no second-class citizen. There is no failure in Jesus. That God can use you in spite of yourself. That He wants to. Man. Woo. Hallelujah. Turn over to John chapter 2. I want us to look at John chapter 2, verse 1 today. A celebration. Here Jesus is showing up at another party. I mean, He loved to party, folks. You just start looking at it in the Word, and you'll find Jesus showing up at these festivals and these parties, and He was there. He loved it. John chapter 2, verse 1. Amen. It's about a wedding. A wedding. Man, we're getting ready to have a wedding. It's about a wedding, all right? And it said, on the third day, everybody say third day. There is so much prophetic revelation in this wedding of Cana of Galilee that I want to share with you today. And I want you to get this in your heart and in your spirit and see what's going on. On the third day is when Jesus showed, not on the first day, not on the second day, but on the third day, Jesus came with His disciples. He was invited. It's your and I job to send out the invitations. We want to send out the invitation to the party. Hello? We want to send out the invitation every day we get up, every contact we come in with. We want to tell them about the goodness of God. The invitation, we want to send it out. He had an invite. He came to a party on the third day. The third day, folks, is the day of completion, the day of resurrection. He was telling them the reason he waited, because he was letting them know it's about the third day. It's not about the old, it's about the new. It's the third day. It's the resurrection day. It's a time to celebrate. It's a time for a party. He was doing a prophetic message to this whole group there that were attending the celebration of the wedding at Cana of Galilee, where his first miracle took place, by the way. It's the third day. And there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. The mother of Jesus, that's interesting. Both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, and he shows up on the third day. Look at the next verse. And when they had ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." They have no wine. When they had ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus turned to him and said, "They have no wine." Religion had ran out of them. Religion had wore them out. Religion had took their joy away. And whenever you see wine in the Bible, it's a symbol of joy. And what religion had done to them is it got them to the point, and the law had got them to the point where there was no more joy in the religion. It had ran out. And here he was, the third day guy. Life itself coming to the party. In fact, he was the life of the party. Wow. Jesus said to her, "Woman," this is interesting. He didn't turn to her and say, "Mary." He didn't turn to her and say, "Mom." He turned to her and said, "Woman." Woman, when you look in the scripture, woman, anybody want some teaching this morning? Yeah. Anybody want some little bit of teaching? When you look in the scripture and you see woman, you always refer to as religion. He turned to her and said, "Woman, what have I to do with you? Because my time has not come." Wow. He said, "I don't have anything to do with religion anymore. This is not about religion. This is not about living under the law. This is a new day. This is a third day. This is a celebration." Wow. Because really what Mary represented was the law and the prophets. And he said, "Woman, what do I have to do with you?" And the law and the prophets, what their whole goal was to point everyone to Jesus himself. Amen. That's the goal of the law, to get you to the end of yourself, where you say, "You know what, I can't do this too good. I really need some help." And Jesus comes along and he says, "You know what, I'm right here. I'm going to help you because I did it. I did it all, in fact. In fact, you know what, I fulfilled every bit of it, because I know you couldn't. Because you couldn't, I did. And because I did, you can now." So my hour hasn't come. It wasn't time yet of his resurrection. But his mother said, the law and the prophets pointed to the servants and said, "Whatever he says to you," what? Do it. Whatever he says to you, whatever the prophets and the law has said to you, believe, do it. Pass it on. Amen. Now there are six water pots of what? Six water pots of stone. Six water pots of stone. Six is always the number of humanity. And they sat there as stones. Wow. Six is always the number of humanity. They were sitting there, they were water pots, but they were empty. They were no longer being used. And they were just sitting to the side as empty vessels of human beings like you and me. Six water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Look what he said. Jesus said to them, "Do what? Fill the water pots with water to what? To the brim. Fill it to the brim." Water is always a symbol of the Holy Spirit. When you see water, you see a symbol of the Holy Spirit in our lives and working in our lives. Look at John 7, 37 and 38. John 7, 37, 38. On that last day, that great day of the what? The party. Here is Jesus at another party. I love it, Lord. He said, on the last day, that great day of the party, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Why? He who believes in me, as the scripture has says, out of his heart will flow what? Rivers of living water. Water represents the Holy Spirit working and flowing out of our lives. Let's go back over there, if you would, to John. Amen. John 2. Praise God. Y'all here this morning? Amen. So here he is. So Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. You know, when God fills you with the Holy Spirit, man, he fills you to the brim, to the overflow, right? And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. And he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior, but you have kept the good wine until now. He said, you know, when you come to the party, everybody sets out what? The good wine first, so they get drunk, and then they bring out the cheap wine for the rest of the party. But he said, you did what? He said, you brought out the best wine when? At the end. And what he was saying, this other stuff, you know, it wasn't good, but you saved the best for last. Jesus is the best. Religion will kill you, but Jesus is the best. And God says, listen, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. My beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He saved the best for last, church. Praise God. And wine represents joy. Where there was no wine, there was no joy. And you know what you have in you? You have the water and the wine. You have the joy of the Holy Spirit within you today. Praise God. That's why it says it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. He said the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but in what? Righteousness, peace, and joy. Where? In the Holy Ghost. You should be the most joyous people on earth. Every day is a celebration of his joy. You have kept the good wine until now. Wow, I love that. Amen. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory. Manifested his glory. How did he manifest his glory? He revealed who he was through all of this little wedding ceremony. That he is the King of Kings, that he is the one that rose from the third day, that he is the giver of life, amen, that he brings joy and brings you out of religion and brings you into life and into a relationship. That's who Jesus is, amen. A miracle took place. Joy was there. It was no longer a drudgery, a hard labor, or a burden to serve the Lord. In fact, Jesus said, my burden is what? Light, and my yoke is what? Easy. It was no longer performance based. Amen. It was based on his performance. Amen. Hallelujah. It's no longer about I have to do. It's about it is done. It is done. Praise God. And here in this wonderful ceremony, we have that expression of God's joy and life, and the party goes on. Turn to somebody and say, don't stop the party. Party on, brother. Amen. Fiesta. Da-da-da. What is it? All night long. Is that it? How do y'all know that song? Amen. Man, yeah, party on, man. Because God's grace is a party. It's not a drudge. It's not a I have to. It's, man, I get to. I am celebrating in my life today because of the freedom that Jesus brought me. How many came out of religion? Man, all of us have. All of us came out of religion. Some of you were more religious than others, right? I mean, some of you have been kicked out of church because you got grace and you find out what's going on. They say, we don't want that here. But no, that, you know, that's too much freedom. Man, God is so awesome and so good. And then some of us came to that revelation of what God did for us, and we went, wow, what am I doing here? Man, there is such freedom in the Lord today, guys. There is such blessing in the Lord. There is such love in the Lord today. There is such hope in Jesus Christ today. Amen. And when you look out through the Gospels now, you'll see them, You know, Matthew threw a party. His disciple, he threw a party. Brought all his friends and tax collectors and all those. And he said, hey, I want you to come and meet a friend of mine. His name is Jesus. Have a Matthew party someday. Just invite all your heathens and outlaws and in-laws and tell them to come. I want you to meet somebody and have it for Jesus. Have a Jesus party. Praise God, man. Make a difference in somebody's life. Impact them. Jesus told about a parable over in, I believe it's in Luke 14:16. Jesus told about a parable about a certain man who made a great supper, and he invited many, and, you know, they began to make excuses. One said, well, hey, you know what? I've married a wife. That's a good excuse. I can't come. I mean, this woman you gave me, Lord, I can't, you know, she won't let me go to church. She won't let me come to the party. And another one says, hey, you know what? I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I need to go and prove them. And I thought, how stupid is that? You didn't prove them before you bought them? Who's going to buy a car without a test drive? Who's going to buy an ox without proving them? And, you know, they begin to make all these excuses. And then, you know, the servant came to the master and said, you know what? I went out, and they all made excuses. And then he said, do this. He said, I want you to go out into the highways and the byways. And he said, compel them to come in. Those that weren't even invited, those that, you know, don't have a religious bone about them, those that are out there who are lost and they don't know what hope is, they don't even know what love is, those who are orphans and parentless and don't know what a good parent is, those who've been divorced and who've been beat up by society, those who are hooked on drugs, those who are in all this type of lifestyle, they need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Go out and invite them to come in. Grace for every race. Invite them all in. Praise God. Let them know how much God loves them. Those that's been beat up, those that's been abused, invite them in. The fatherless, the motherless, invite them in. Man, and he said, I'm going to tell you, my house is full, but yet there's still room. That's the God we serve. That's the God we serve. Even though the house is full, there's always room. Praise God. There's always family. You know, my daughter was so glad to see us, and I was so glad to see her and the kids and got to love on them a little bit and just had a good time. And, you know, it was just a blessing to be with your family. You know what? Every Sunday, I look forward to being here with you because you're my family. Praise God. I love you. Amen. I'm thinking, wow, there's another life of grace. There's someone else affected by grace. There's someone else that heard about the good news of Jesus Christ, that it's done, that it's finished. Amen. I want to share that with someone else. I don't want to keep it to myself. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Praise God. Give God some praise. Amen. Hallelujah. It's no longer I have to perform to make it happen, because he performed to make it happen. Amen. And this morning, I just want to challenge you guys this week as you go about the highways and byways of your life, as you gather with family tomorrow perhaps on Labor Day and realize it's a rest day, right? Amen. As you get together with your family, you know, do it around Jesus. Talk about Jesus, man. Amen. Share the good news with somebody. As you go up to the gas station, as you go into the service station, wherever you go, share the good news about Jesus Christ. Let's raise our hand this morning. Amen. Father, thank you today for all the goodness you bring to our lives. Thank you, Father, for your grace, for your love for us today. Thank you, Lord, that we have Jesus and he has us. That, God, we're secure in you today. That we're not religious, God, that we're not affected by religion, but, God, we're so secure in you today. And we love you this morning, God, and we thank you for the love that comes back to us today. Help us take this love out to the highways and to the byways, and compel them with the good news of Jesus Christ and his grace, that they are forgiven, that they are redeemed, that they are healed, amen, that they are filled. Thank you for that today. We praise you in the name of Jesus today. God, we love you this morning. Freely we have received, freely we will give. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God some praise, amen. Hallelujah. Well, turn to 3 or 4 people this morning and say, I'm not going to labor on Labor Day. I'm going to rest in him. Amen. Bless you guys today. Love you.